Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I don't say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Forgive your brother from your heart." This is our text. You might remember from last Sunday what comes immediately before our reading today. Jesus had said, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." That is, when your brother knows his fault and turns, you set him free. You release him from his sin against you. You also know how Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Forgiveness is the beating heart of the Christian faith. It is the center of what we confess and believe. But then there's a hand raised. Peter's got a question. He wants to go deeper. He wants to know how to apply this forgiveness business to his own life, how to live as one forgives his brother. So Peter's hand shoots up. "This forgiveness stuff is great, Jesus, but how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" "As many as seven times?" How much forgiveness? How far does forgiveness extend? What are its limits? Where does it stop? I wonder what his brother Andrew was thinking about that question. Or the other brothers in Christ, the other apostles, were they wondering, "Is he talking about me? What did I do this time? Why is he asking that?" I mean, what would you think if your brother said, "But really, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive him?" Or if your wife said it, or if your son or your daughter or your friend said with a sigh, "Do I have to forgive her again?" How much forgiveness? How much indeed? Not seven times, as generous as that may seem, but, and this is from the Lord, 70 times seven. Forgive your brother from your heart. And he means now. Yes, again, this time, and your sister too. From your heart. Those are the words that struck me this week. Not superficial forgiveness that's skin deep, but cardiac forgiveness. Forgiveness that flows from the very center of our being, from our innermost self, from the deepest part of us. And Peter thought seven was being generous. He wasn't even close to the heart of the matter. Speaking of the heart, that question, "How many times?" is the question of the old sinful heart. That's what the old heart asks. The kind of heart that knows it can't take another hit without seizing up. It only has so many beats. It only has so much forgiveness to extend before it breaks. So it would rather shrivel up and die. And I mean that. It would rather shrivel up and die than forgive again for the eighth time. Certainly not, Lord. And that's why it asks, how much? Because it knows it doesn't have that much. Because it knows its resources are limited. I suppose you can fault Peter for not wanting to be more forgiving, but I think he's just being honest. But Jesus, I don't have that much forgiveness in me. 70 times 7, I can't even count that high. You're pushing me to the limits, Lord. And he says, I know. I know your forgiveness is limited. I know your forgiveness is weak. That's why I'm here. Listen. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. You know how it went. I'm not going to read every line of it, but summarize it for you. There was the first servant who owed about as much as the national debt. And if you know what that is, you can tell me later. You don't even want to know how much, or why, or how, or when, or what. I bet you'd turn green and pass out if we went into all the details of that debt. And I don't mean our national debt, I mean this servant's debt toward his king. It wasn't pretty. You can't believe how he racked it up. And now he's going to lose everything, all of his possessions, and his family included. And so he falls down on his knees. He begs, he pleads, he whines, he promises, Lord, I'll pay it all back. Sure you will. But you know, this king isn't heartless. This king has pity. This king knows what it's like to be needy. And so this king does the most unimaginable thing, the thing you can least imagine. He forgives the man's debt. All of it. He sets that man free. Free to do what? Well, I'll tell you what the man thought he was free to do. He thought he was free to turn around and start wringing his neighbor's neck over the $5 he's owed. Seriously? And not to let up, even when the guy begs and pleads and whines and promises to pay it all back. That first servant, it's like he totally forgot what just happened. It's like he'd looked forgiveness in the face. He'd seen its glowing eyes and beautiful heart. And then he turns around and walks off like he's never seen it at all. How much? That first servant is the living embodiment of not much. Not much at all. Forgiveness that's not full, that's not complete, that is ending and partial and always counting and always holding on and always adding up so that the brother's sin is never really gone. I mean, that's the thing about counting your brother's sins. If you forgave his sin once, then why are you getting to the number 2 at all? You should never get there because it starts again every single time. But this first servant, his heart just isn't into forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't in his blood. It's like he's got an autoimmune reaction to forgiveness. And that's a problem. A really big problem. And don't act like it's not your problem too. I think you know what I'm talking about. The impatience, the anger, the resentment, the grudges, the counting, the demand for repayment, the way that you latch on to that speck in your brother's eye and won't give it up, and any attempt to point out the log in your own eye just makes you madder. You know, when you've been playing in the muck, the first thing you notice is how dirty the other person's face is. It's just the truth. But look in the mirror before you start pointing it out. When it comes to forgiveness, we really have to look at ourselves and say, am I any better than that wicked servant? I mean, whose neck would I wring for $5? Now, I know you may want to raise some objections at this point. You may want to say, but Pastor, you don't know what my brother did to me. And it's true, I don't. And you might want to say, but what if my brother isn't really repentant? Or what about the consequences of his sin? Well, what about it? The state of his heart is his business. That's between him and God. You've got enough on your own hands with your heart. And as for the consequences of sin, yes, sin has consequences. But Jesus isn't talking about that here. He's dealing with the consequences of not forgiving others from the heart. And those consequences are pretty serious too. And you can't get out of this conversation by trying to change the topic or put the weight back on your brother. The weight is on forgiveness. So here's where it stands. When I look at my heart, I find that my heart is about out of forgiveness. If it's not bone dry, it's close. Yours too? Clearly, when I look at my heart and think about forgiveness, it's obvious what has to happen. This old heart has got to go. I've got to be rid of it. I need a transplant heart. I need a clean heart. I need a new heart. So if it feels like Jesus is doing surgery on you today, great, because he is. If it feels like you've been dragged before the king and he's calling you to account, that's because he is. And what can we say to the charges against us? I mean, if the king really wanted to go over our rap sheet, what would it look like? Not just the lack of forgiveness, but all the rest of it too. Well, how much time do you have? How big is my debt? Is it enough to put you on your knees? Enough to make you beg and plead for mercy and promise never to do it again and that you'll pay it all back and out of pity, the master releases you. Out of pity, the master forgives your debt. All of it. Every single penny. But forget about pennies because he's not even counting anymore. Because this king does not have a heart like yours or mine. He does not have a heart that's limited in the forgiveness it gives. His forgiveness knows no limit. It is unending. It is a well that you can never reach the bottom of. And the only one who stands outside his forgiveness is the one who refuses it. The one who says, actually, no thanks. I'll pay my own debt, and I'll make everyone else pay theirs too. And how absurd is that? I mean, every time I read this parable, my heart goes out to that second servant, that poor second servant who owes the $5. I don't want his neck to get wrung. I don't want him to be thrown into prison. Not again. Not this time. Not any time. I want him to be forgiven, just like the first guy. Just like me. Just like me. Yes. Your sins are great, and my sins are also great. But that's not the point. The point here isn't our sin. The point is his forgiveness. It's not the size of the debt. It's the size of the cancellation that matters here. It's his generosity that's in view. So you're telling me that he burned my sin mortgage, canceled my student sin debt, and wiped out all my sin credit? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what he did. But that's not easy. No, it's not. Forgiveness is never easy, and it's never cheap. It's not easy to forgive like that. When your God looked at your debt, when he considered us poor, pitiful servants, he knew what it would cost to forgive us. The son raised his hand. The son said, Father, count it as my debt, all of it. Put it on my bill, on my account. I will repay, and I'll put my heart into it. And then he did. He put his heart into paying our debt. He put his heart into forgiving our sins. You hear it from him on the cross. Father, forgive them, he cries. Words that still echo to us today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he did forgive. He put his heart into forgiveness, pounding with forgiveness, throbbing with forgiveness, pumping with forgiveness. See his atoning sacrifice. See the forgiveness streaming from his head, from his hands, and from his feet. See the forgiveness coursing through him until his heart finally explodes with forgiveness for you and for the world. God is merciful, dear friends. He isn't holding your sin against you. It's been run through the cross. It's been pumped through the heart of Jesus. He's not counting. Would you? And as you think about it, you may realize that you receive this forgiveness not only from your God, but you receive it from others as well. Because Jesus lives, and he lives so that repentance and forgiveness of sins might be proclaimed in his name. For not only have we sinned against our God, we have sinned against our brothers and sisters, and they have forgiven you. How many times? Seven? 70 times seven? So your Lord Jesus Christ sets you free today. You are free from counting your brother's sins. You are free from harboring grudges and resentment. You are free from being impatient and angry. You have permission, dear Christian, permission to forgive the sins of others in the name of Jesus and for his sake and on account of his blood and with his heart. So use the right that you have. Don't be stingy. And you can afford to forgive because you know that this source of forgiveness is not like your old heart, limited and bone dry. This source of forgiveness is the new heart, the very heart of Christ beating in you. And I want to be practical about this for just a minute here. I know that when we talk about forgiving our brother's sins against us, we often jump to the hardest cases. We often jump to the most terrible ways we've been sinned against, to the things that are hardest to forgive. I don't think that's the best place for us to go. That's not the place to start. Don't try starting with the big ones. Try starting with the small ones. You know, there was financial advice at one point about how to tackle debt, and it talked about the debt snowball. Get the ball rolling with the little ones and then roll it into the big ones. And that's the idea here. Start with the little sins. Start with the small ones against you. Start with the daily debts that others rack up at home and at church and at work. Try out your new heart with those things. Work that forgiveness muscle with the easy weights first. Don't start with 50 pounds. Start with 2 or 5. And as you do that, you'll find that you're able to begin lifting more and forgiving bigger things. How do we grow stronger in forgiveness? By receiving his forgiveness and then by doing it. So when your brother or sister or your father or your mother or your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your friend sins against you today, don't groan and say, "How many times do I have to forgive them?" Don't brush it off. Don't say that it's no big deal. And certainly don't add it to the list. Forgive it. Say these very words, "In Jesus' name, I forgive you. I forgive you. In Jesus' name, from his heart, with his blood." It all depends on him. Jesus is not waiting for you to find your own source of forgiveness before he shares his. He's got more than enough for you and for your brother and for your sister. And he's already filled the font with this forgiveness. And he's already poured it into the chalice. And he's already spoken that absolution into your ears. He never, never, never tires of forgiving you. Why, even now, do you feel it? Just a little bit? Your heart restarting, refilling, the blood pumping, the forgiveness flowing. Yes, restarting your heart again. How many times, Lord, is that? With his forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.